Beautiful choir. Thank you once again this morning, and Walter and Matt. Title of that anthem, devotion, no better title or anthem, I suppose, to begin us on a stewardship season. The Sunday this morning, as we've noted over and over already, and will continue to, we formally kick off our annual stewardship season. And we do it like we've done it for many years now, with very little or no fanfare. We don't have any big thermometers in the Family Life Center. There are no balloons or pie charts or raffle tickets being sold. The most dramatic thing we'll do, I suppose, is to walk forward with our pledge cards on November 11th, Dedication Sunday, and place them publicly together in a basket in front of this sanctuary. You've heard from two of our ministry teams this morning. The rest, and for the rest of this month and part of next month, we look forward to hearing from the others. These teams are vital to our health as a community, and we do hope, as you heard in the calls of both Margaret and Richard, that you become a part of one of them or one of the ministries they support if you're not already directly involved. You'll be receiving letters and communications that'll share the hopes and the dreams that we have and the practical measures that we've discerned to not only ensure our future in ministry here in this part of the world, but to enrich it and to enhance it in the year to come to the glory of God. And when November 11th arrives, we'll dedicate our pledges of money and of time and of talents to the service, the ministry, the mission of God at Pee-wee Valley Presbyterian Church, and we'll find out how closely our deeds will match our desires. So every year I wonder if indeed we should be bigger and flashier and more full of ourselves in these weeks. This is a season, after all, of celebration for any congregation, of what has been, of what is, and of what can be. But every year in my conversation with our elders and the members of our finance team, this year Larry Weiss, its chair, we decide to enter, to move through, and to conclude this season with intention and with passion, but also with humility and simplicity. So what's to be said that hasn't already been anticipated? What's to be preached that hasn't already been heard? And what will you hear that you haven't already heard? Let's find out. Pray with me. Gracious God, we do pause to pray in this moment that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we begin, after those opening words this year, with these words: do not fear, it's already here. Let's listen now for the word of God from the prophet Joel. No, not me. That other one. From the second chapter of the book of Joel, beginning with verse 21. And I'm going to add verse 27 to those verses listed in your bulletin. Listen now for the word of God. Do not fear, O soil. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field. For the pastures of the wilderness are green, the tree bears its fruits, the fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for God has given the early rain for your vindication. God has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the latter rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And concluding with verse 27, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. After a call to repentance in chapter 1, in the first part of chapter 2, the prophet shares God's promise and response to those who trust in and are faithful to the full life that is tended for the whole earth. You heard it, I lifted it up. Do not fear, O soil. Do not fear, you animals of the field. Do not fear, O children of Zion. God has already poured down for you abundant rain. Do not fear. Those are the words we begin with this year. And I want you to understand that that message is not the message of many, perhaps most preachers when they are charged with raising money and time and talents for the future of a church. Do not fear. In fact, it's pretty opposite the message that many, if not most, preachers begin with when they're charged with raising money for the future of the church. Fear, you see, is a powerful motivator. As I mentioned, the prophet Joel has used it already in his writing to get the attention of his congregation, his audience, of you and of me. Put on sackcloth and lament, you priests. He begins his book, "Wail, you ministers of the altar, sound the alarm on the holy mountain, let all the inhabitants tremble." But we begin this season after that, after those words, those fearful verses, and those fear-filled motivators, which is not to say that we are not aware of the consequences of complacency and self-indulgence. We are. Every year, even before I begin to talk with the elders or with Larry and the finance team about how we may engage our stewardship season, we wonder if we should do it so formally at all. After all year is stewardship season. Why set aside these weeks? Doesn't that make giving something special rather than something foundational to our lives as members in this community? Well, yes. But we do this season intentionally every year because we are profoundly aware of becoming complacent and self-centered. But we're also profoundly aware of how much we are blessed with and how much is here in our midst already, always. Abundant rain, the prophet says, and the good kind. If you haven't sensed it on some level around here, then you simply haven't hung around long enough. There's always been a lot of dreaming and a lot of visioning, and there has also always been a lot of responding and implementing happening here. You and I, are closing in on 10 full years of ministry together. And in those years, we have maintained some of the most beloved traditions of this community, and we have seen some beautiful changes. We faced some difficult decisions, and we've enjoyed some new fellowships. The past decade has prepared the soil for the years ahead. God has given the early rain for our vindication. Our soil has been nourished by the life and the love and the ministry and the relationships that we have all shared and that we all share. Timidly at first, but with growing confidence and trust, we began long ago to dream and to vision, to ask not what have we done, but what can we do? And so we're here again. In this new season, when we focus on being good stewards of all that we have received, we walk on. Tired and frazzled as we may feel at times, we walk on, we work on, because this is only the early rain. The visions and the hopes, the newness and the potential is only the beginning of the promise that is for us and for our children. God has rained down upon us the early rain, and now the threshing floors are full of grain, the vats overflow with wine and oil. We're blessed here in this congregation as a community of faith. The time, the talents, the tithes are present among us already. God has provided. We know that. If you look around as you gather or when you leave on Sunday morning, if you slow down just a little bit as you come throughout the week, you recognize that this church is profoundly blessed with property
and physical spaces such as this and the Family Life Center next door, with ministries and our school, with people and with your love. God has provided, we must not doubt. The question of every stewardship campaign, of every effort in any church during a season set aside for replying to God's provisions, is how will we respond? In this past year, your staff has changed and grown again. Your pastoral staff, Walter and Matt and I, have been joined by a new director of youth ministry, Asia, and our passion and energy has ramped up along with hers. Shelley and Marie in our church office, along with our custodian Toby, continue to meet the growing challenges of increased building usage and space coordination and events on our calendar. Our Child Development Center, our CDC school, has a new director, Brandy Mikesell, for the first time in 7 years, and we're working diligently on creating a child care and preschool like no other in South Oldham County. Now, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that as excited as we are as a staff and as a school about what is, we're more excited about what can be, and we're looking ahead. In the past year, through our mission and through our ministries, we've given to Habitat for Humanity and Living Waters for the World, both local and national. We've traveled to Montreat with our youth. We've collected for the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and for Lots Creek Settlement School. We've added a new adult Sunday school class. We've maintained and regularized our webpage. We've had another blowout end of the summer picnic outside these walls. We've set visions and goals for the future of the church and much, much more. And I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that as excited as everyone is about all that we have done, we're more excited about what can be, and we're looking ahead. Tell your children about it. Our prophet says, in words that also precede our reading this morning, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. This season is for that sharing, for that telling. We will remember what has happened to us and how we have responded in the year and years past, because now, in this season and in the coming year, we're expressing and we're experiencing a new deliverance, new opportunities, new obligations, new joy and hope and possibilities. God has poured down for us abundant rain. How will we respond? With skepticism and doubt? I highly doubt that. In the 10 years I've been with you and we've ministered together, that has never been our approach. We engage this season with generosity and with confidence and with trust. Those are the realities of stewardship every year, and again this year. We will reply to our questions in the weeks ahead, answering them again on November 11th and in the weeks that follow. So get ready. In those weeks, we will prepare again for that day. This morning, I want to end a little lightly. Our denomination sends out resources to help its pastors during stewardship season, whenever that may be, designed, I suppose, to ease our potential frustrations with any tensions that may arise during this season. A few years back, actually, I received a couple of lists that probably bring most of those things we experience during any stewardship season into play: guilt and duty, expectation and identity, obligation and opportunity. And I've used these lists many, many years back, but I want to share them again as we begin. The first list includes 5 reasons why you may not pledge your money or your time or your talents this year. To begin with, you will not have to say no to your children or to yourselves as frequently if you don't pledge your money this year. 2, you could buy a new car, get rid of the old one a year sooner. Three, you could travel more, taking some real vacations instead of just going to see the family. Four, you could pay off some of those other bills that have been worrying you. And five, when you do give to the church, you could choose. Rather than pledge, you could choose where it goes and what it will fund. You won't be bound by any unified budget that the church voted on for those who pledge support. The second list I'll share with you includes five reasons you might consider pledging again this year. You will strengthen your church to do a better job at ministering to people locally, regionally, and even globally. If and as you pledge, the church lights stay on, the lawnmower gets gas, and all those things that break get fixed. Three, your children will see your example and know you to be a dad or a mom, a grandfather or a grandmother who practices what you preach. Four, you'll feel great the next time I preach about money. You can just sit back and enjoy it then. And five, you will strengthen your own faith. Because when it's all said and done, generous giving is faith-driven. It's not preacher-driven. It's not impulse-driven, not gain-driven or emotion-driven or even need-driven. What drives and propels our faithful giving is your faith itself, a radical trust in God's promise of abundant life, and a deep-seated fidelity to our Christian identity and the word it has to speak to our needful and broken world, an underlying confidence in your church and its mission and its ministry, and most important, its members. It is with that trust, that fidelity, and that confidence that we will finally know that God is indeed in our midst and that the Lord is our God and there is no other. God has given the abundant rain. How will we respond this year? Welcome, everyone, to one of the most exciting times in the life of our church. Amen.